All the glory must be, all the glory. must pay to the Lord.
Amen.
God specializes in things that are impossible.
Amen.
You see, for Sister Mary, you must practice in the whole week. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. God and you. God and you.
God specializes in things not impossible and does the things
not impossible.
Oh, sorry.
In things not impossible. In things not impossible. And does the things that
he has done. Oh, courage, be of good courage.
Spoke unto Joshua when all the rivers God pointed the way. Jordan uncrossable, things seemed impossible. Waters divide as they march and obey. God and the rivers you think are uncrossable. God and the mountains you can't tunnel through. God specializes in things not impossible and does the things that no other power can do. Arrows to wind they meet with the obstacle. Jericho's fall to the ground.
God never failed his stack on his promises.
Was it to crumble as they march around?
God any river you think are impossible. God any mountain you can't turn through. God specializes in things that are impossible.
God, any rivers you think are uncrossable. God, any mountains God specializes in
things not impossible. And does the
things that no other power can do.
Jacob's ladder, we are climbing.
Jacob's ladder, soldiers,
soldiers.
Shine, give God the glory. Rise, shine, give God the glory. Rise, give God the glory, soldiers of the
earth. We
are climbing, Jacob's ladder.
We are climbing,
Jacob's ladder.
We are
climbing, Jacob's ladder, soldiers of the earth.
Every
run goes higher and higher. Every run goes higher and higher. Every run goes higher and higher. Soldiers of death.
We
are climbing. Jacob's ladder,
we are climbing. Jacob's ladder,
soldiers of the
cross. If you love
him, if you love him, why not serve him?
If you love him,
why not serve him?
If you love him, why not serve him?
Soldiers. just comfort. We are climbing Jacob's ladder. Jacob's ladder.
We are climbing
Jacob's ladder. Soldiers on fire.
Send the power.
Send the
power. Just now, Lord, send the power down and baptize everyone. Lord, send the power
down.
Oh, send the power. Lord, send the power. Just baptize.
Amen.
Amen.
See, pass me not to Jim, but say, pass me not to gentle
Savior, hear my humble cry. Why, Lord, not as thou art
holy,
pass me
by, Savior,
my Lord and Savior, Savior, my why, Lord, not as thou art called?
Thou art calling, my Lord.
Do not pass me by. Lead me at thy throne of mercy.
At thy throne of mercy.
Find a sweet relief there in deep country.
Yes,
my anthem. Pass me by.
Trusting
only in thy Mary.
In thy Mary, my Lord.
Oh, I see thy faith. Save me by
thy, oh my Lord and Savior, Lord and
Savior,
Savior,
hear my
humble
cry. I know not as thou art
calling.
Do not pass me by. Thou dost bring over my comfort.
Amen.
Welcome to the house of the Lord. We are happy to be back again after Easter week. Let's go ahead. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for bringing us back in your house, O Lord. We are standing in your presence, O Lord, knowing that we are nothing, O Lord, but you are everything.
Amen.
We thank you for your care over us, O Lord, for your protection, and for keeping us from all harm. We left this place on Sunday rejoicing for your resurrection, O Lord, and we were expecting to come back again to feed our souls from your word.
Amen.
We are back today expecting again, O Lord, to be fed not by man, O Lord, but by yourself, by the Holy Spirit. Take now control, take the leadership, O Lord. You are nothing, O Lord. You are very limited, O Lord, but you are unlimited, O Lord. Use now these human lips, O Lord. Use this human voice to speak to your people. Take control, Heavenly Father. Through the reading of the word, through the preaching, O Lord, let you take control of everything. We think of our brother Maxwell, he's not feeling well today, O Lord.
Amen.
Be with him where he is, O Lord. Comfort him and restore his strength, O Lord.
Amen.
So that he could stand again and serve you.
Amen.
Bless our pastor. Bless every single member of this church, O Lord.
Amen.
Let your power come down tonight, O Lord, and bless us in a special way, O Lord. Even though we are few, Heavenly Father, but we know we are surrounded by angels, O Lord.
Amen.
And they are making us many, O Lord.
Amen.
That's why our praise will rise towards you as a perfume of good. We thank you, Father.
Amen.
Be with us as we commit the service into your hands in the name of the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
We are going to read from Genesis 1:1-5 first, and then Romans 12:1-2. Genesis 1:1-5. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth.
Amen.
And the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the earth. The face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters.
Amen.
And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light that it was good. And God divided the light with the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were interesting.
Amen.
Romans 12:1-2. Beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. So, last week we were celebrating, as we say, the Passover, the resurrection of our Lord, the rising of the sun.
Amen.
The sun, which is the power that brings life.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
So today, we just want to stay in that spirit. We are going to speak about the power of transformation. How God, out of nothing, out of the chaos that was on earth in the Genesis, He brought a beautiful world we are living in today. Out of nothing, out of that chaos, out of darkness and shapeless earth, was able to create the Garden of Eden.
Amen.
To create man in his own image, to create all that we see, all that exists. And we are going to see the power behind that creation, the power that brought that creation to existence. And that power is still alive today.
Amen.
Because the spoken word of God, Brother Branham says in the rising of the sun, the first life that ever struck the earth was the spoken word of God.
Mm-hmm.
And that spoken word of God, as long as God is God, the spoken word of God that created everything, will still bring everything to conform to the will of God. As long as that everything submit to the will of God. We see in Genesis that God, in the beginning, he spoke the word. Because there was chaos, complete chaos. Darkness was covering all the surface of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
There was water over the surface of the earth. So, God wanted to express something. Because God didn't just start creation out of nothing. God thought something himself, in his head. And then he came from eternity, in time. And then he wanted to start something out of what was in his mind. So from the mind of God, he came and he said, I want to bring something to existence. I want to manifest something so that I can express myself, what is inside of me, into my creation.
Amen.
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 So, before God started creating, Brother Branham says, he wanted a certain atmosphere. He wanted a certain environment around him that will make him express his creation.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's why the prophet says he created angels.
Yes. Amen.
Because before that, he was just Elohim.
Mm.
The self-existent one.
Mm.
He was the one who existed by himself. But when he created angels, he became God.
Amen.
Because God is the one you worship.
Amen.
So the angels started singing for him. The angels started worshiping him. Mm. And Brother Branham says, the songs of the angels created an atmosphere, in that atmosphere that made God to start his creation.
Amen.
So without that atmosphere that the angel did create around him, what I want to say is he couldn't create. It took a certain atmosphere around him for him to bring, to express his mind. So, what was in his mind? In his mind were seeds. In his mind were his children that he created, that he knew before the foundation of the earth. So he wanted now to express these children. The prophet says, under that chaos, under that darkness, under that surface of water, God had its seed laying there. Its seeds were laying there, but the conditions were not appropriate for these seeds to manifest themselves.
Amen.
So, God himself, before he could express what was in, he wanted a certain atmosphere around him. So his seeds as well, they were sitting under the sea, under the waters. They needed a certain atmosphere for them to express themselves. God knew that.
Mm-hmm.
So he came and he said, I will start now my creation now. The seeds that are sitting there, under darkness, under the surface of water and everything, they can't come to full manifestation until a certain atmosphere is created around them.
Mm-hmm.
So he came, he started his creation. He said, in the first day, as we read in Genesis, he said, let there be light.
Amen.
God spoke the word, and there was light.
Amen.
So if God made light to existence, if God created light, because he wanted from that light to bring his thoughts, to bring his seeds to manifestation.
Mm.
He didn't just create light for the sake of creating light. He created light because light has the power in it to manifest what was hidden beneath the surface.
Amen.
But
That was God's plan. But there was another power that wanted to hinder God from manifesting his full potential.
Mm.
When God said, let there be light, light came, as we saw on Sunday. But Mr. Darkness was still there. He had reigned for long billions of years, as the prophet put it. For billions of years, darkness was ruling over the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't bring any seed of God to manifestation.
Mm-hmm.
They were there sitting under him. He couldn't produce, he didn't have power in him to bring them to manifestation.
Mm-hmm.
But when God said, let there be light, light didn't come to play a game. Light did come to bring the seeds to power, to life.
Mm-hmm.
But we see in Genesis that the darkness wanted to stay alongside the light, which was contrary to the plan of God. So when the light came, darkness was there. And they were living all together. Because in the next chapter, in the next verse, we see God separated. If God separated, it means that means the darkness was there, light was there. So it was a kind of confusion. It was a confused situation. I don't know how to explain it. I don't know how to put it. Maybe we could have a piece of darkness here, and the next few meters we find light. The next 200 meters we find some darkness. So it was confusion. You could go from day, night. God didn't want it to be like that. God wanted a clear separation between darkness and light. So God said, it's not good that they remain together. He separated them. And to make the separation very obvious, he changed their names. Amen. Before, they were only called light and darkness. But he wanted to be sure that the separation is clear now. You will be called day. You are light. I created you as light. But you will be called from now on day. And you, darkness, you will be called from now on night.
Amen.
So there was a clear separation. There was no confusion anymore.
Mm-hmm.
He told the darkness, you will be called night, and from now on, get away from the light. Mm-hmm. You live in your own position. You live on your own time and do your own business in your own time. Light, you stay there and you'll be called day, and you'll be what I've sent you to do. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So the separation was clear.
Amen.
And God couldn't start to do anything until that separation was made clear.
Amen.
All the rest of the creation came only when God had made that separation clear.
Mm.
Darkness was living somewhere else. Light was living somewhere else. So we are, as Christians, most of the time, that line of demarcation is not clear in our lives. Most of the time, we are that new creation of God. The one that God wants to manifest today. God sends his light to us. We receive the light. But most of the time, we are happy to walk, I don't know how to call it, in darkness, half light. That condition doesn't exist in God's plan. When God calls us, he calls us for a complete, a total separation from the world. Amen.
Amen.
If God was happy that we should be half Christian, half worldly people,
mm-hmm.
he could have done it that way in Genesis.
Mm.
So we could live in a world where, I don't know, when you are down in city center, it's night. Here, it's day. The next street, it's night. So that was the condition, the light. When it came, that was its first condition. It found that Mr. Darkness is there, I am there, let's get along together. But God said, it shouldn't be like that. Until you are completely separated. Not only separated, God separated them and gave them new names. Amen. God wants you to be separated. I don't want you to go and change your name today, but He wants to see a new nature in you. Amen. God wants you to get separated completely, and He wants to see a clear demarcation between you and the darkness. That's what He made in Genesis. He changed its name, and He brought it to full manifestation. Amen.
Amen.
So, God was happy now that His creation could start now. He wanted to create an atmosphere, to create a condition in which His seeds that were lying there underground could find a space to express itself. Because Himself, He was now expressing Himself through creation, and the seed that He planted down there, He wanted them also to find that place, that space, that atmosphere where they could express themselves. So He started His creation. Light was there. He was sure that when the light is there, My seeds would find a place where they could grow. He made sure that water could be separated with dry land. He made sure that everything was correctly placed so that the seeds down there could express themselves. Today we are in a new creation of God. Today we are the people that from which God wants to bring a bride to manifestation. And from what we see happened in Genesis, God wants us to express today. He wants us to express His thought, to express what He wants us to be in these last days. So to do that, He has given us, He has created an atmosphere so that we can express what He planted in us. But there is a condition. That condition is you and me. Because in Genesis, what the earth and the seed that were in the earth could do was only listen to the word of God and accept the word of God. That's all that was required for them. They didn't have any effort to do. They didn't have anything. It was not required to do to them anything. Just listen to the word of God, to the spoken word of God. And as long as the earth was there in the presence of the Lord, receiving the spoken word of God, transformation was happening.
Amen.
Every day, you'll wake up. Next morning, you'll see, oh, there are stars now up there. Next morning, you'll wake up, you'll see, oh, there are grasses everywhere. As long as it was sitting in the presence of the spoken word, listening to the presence of the spoken word, something was happening. The transformation was happening. But as today, the difference with the nature in the beginning, the earth in the beginning, we have free will. So that free will in us is the only condition that will make the difference between what God did in Genesis to the earth happening in us or not happening in us.
Amen.
Because the earth in the beginning didn't have free will. It was just sitting in the presence of God, and God spoke, He received the word, and it manifested itself. But we, as human beings, God put that free will in us. As long as you accept what the spoken word is saying,
Amen.
That spoken word has in it the power to transform you from a chaotic situation to produce a garden of Eden in you. Amen.
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 Listen to what the prophet said. Now God put the seed in there with potential, that it will be what He said it would be. And as long as it stayed, that's in God's Power to Transform, 11 September 65, and as long as it stayed in its right category, it would be just exactly what God said it would be. Amen.
Amen.
It had to be that way because He had made it that way and made a channel that anything that stays in His channel, in His line of word, it will have to bring forth exactly like His word said it would be. Amen.
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 It cannot move from there. it's channeled just exactly right. Yeah. So God is showing us what? In you, in us, he has put potentials.
Mm.
What potentials? To be children of God.
Mm.
You have in you, we have in us, that potential to be children of God.
Yes,
but
sir.
The requirement is to stay in the channel.
Amen.
Amen.
Because the potential is not the full manifestation. Amen.
Mm.
If we have a seed today, we can say in that seed lay all the life of the plant that will come up. But if that seed is not put in the good atmosphere, it will remain there and rot. Amen.
Amen.
The potential is something that requires from the owner, from the person who holds the potential,
Amen.
To exploit the potential.
Amen.
The potential must be put under certain circumstances for it to produce what it is intended to produce.
Amen. Amen.
Now, the prophet says, and if God said, so with everything and the trust in his own son that it would be that way, then God said, it's all good. So I'll just rest. And each one of those seeds has power in itself to transform itself. The prophet is existing in this world. Itself. He has power in itself to transform itself into the species that I, God, desire it to be. That's what it must be, because I have given every seed transforming power to make out of itself. Amen.
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 So God, when he created, the principle is very simple. He creates you, he puts into you that seed of the nature of God in you.
Uh-huh.
And in that nature, there's all the potential to develop you to the God, to the image of God. But the only condition is you have to do it yourself. The potential is there, but it's up to you to bring that potential to its full manifestation.
Amen.
If you don't put it in the right atmosphere, you will die with the potential.
Amen.
You remember that story Barawanam was telling about that woman who had a child in India. She was living in poverty in America. So she didn't know. Someone came to ask her, what about your child? Where is he? She said, no, he's in India. He's a doctor there, very good life. She said, does he write to you? She said, yes, he sent me good letters and nice pictures and very good, kind words, everything. The man said to him, so why are you suffering like this? You have nothing to eat. He said, no, my child loves me.
He said, you like child.
He said, show me some of those pictures he sent me. The woman went, she brought a pile of money, currencies, dollars, piles and piles under the bed. Why? Because she didn't know that what she was calling pictures had in it the potential of being out of poverty. Amen.
Amen.
Her child was sending us something that could bring some power in it to bring her out of poverty.
Amen.
But since she didn't know, and she didn't put that potential in the right condition, because money in your pocket is just a currency, it's just a piece of paper.
Mm.
Yes, sir.
You can die with money in your pocket. But if that potential that is in you, you take an initiative to go into a shop and use that potential, will transform it into something that you can eat. In something that you can use for your own sake. Amen. So the potential was there, and it's up to you, up to the seed itself, to stand in the presence of the Son. As long as a seed went to say, okay, I don't want to put myself under the sun, every time the sun comes out, it went to hide. In the night, when the darkness is there, because he loves darkness, he comes out. There is the same potential with other seeds in it, but it won't manifest, because it wouldn't place itself in the right atmosphere. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
So, we see that that was God's plan for his seed to manifest itself, to bring, to reproduce according to its own kind. But the condition, the requirement was to put yourself in the right channel.
Amen.
To separate yourself first. Until there is no separation, God will not do anything with a Christian.
Yes.
Until there is no separation, because the word of God is a seed, is a power, is the son, and the son wants to have full liberty to act.
Amen.
We see it in many examples in the Bible. God doesn't bless any of his children as long as they are still sitting in confusion.
Yes,
we're going to see it with our father Abraham. Because God wanted a complete separation. God had a plan for Abraham. He told him, Abraham didn't do anything. It was just like the history of the creation of the earth. Garden of Eden. The earth was there sitting. He didn't ask for God to do anything. God, in his mind, he just came. Because the universe is big. You know, there is Mars, Jupiter, whatever. But he chose the earth. He said,
Amen.
I will go and plant a garden of Eden on earth. He could have chose to do it in Mercury or whoever.
He went
on earth. Likewise, our father Abraham, he was a man among a multitude. But he went and said, Abraham, I have a plan for you. I bless you. I make you this. I do this for you. I will. Many, many abundant blessings.
Amen.
But first, leave your country. Separate yourself. Before I can start doing anything with you, Abraham, you can't stay light and darkness together. There must be a clear separation.
Amen.
Abraham said, okay, thank you, God. You are very good. I'm going to leave. Abraham, instead of doing what God told him, he took his father, he took Lot. Darkness and light staying together. Abraham, as a prophet, he should know that in Genesis, God separated. He didn't want light and darkness to walk along together. But he took Lot with him. It was good. There was very good justification for him to do it. Lot was an orphan. He was under responsibility. His father was an old man. And there was all the reasons for him to justify himself, like us today. God said to us, leave and follow me. But you just give excuses. You know, it's Europe. It's very cold, and I need to put on my trousers, you know, because there are always excuses. We find always excuses. But for God, he told Abraham, the promise is there. You'll inherit all this land. But come out. Abraham came out, but he didn't fully come out. He came out of his land, or whatever it was called. But Ur didn't came out of him, Amen. Physically, he left the land, but he brought some of the land with him. So the land didn't leave him. There was still some love of his own land with him. When God said, separate yourself, it means your mind, your body, and your soul, everything, get rid of what God doesn't want you to do. Abraham went with Lot. If you read your Bible, you will see from that time, God stopped to speak to Abraham. He stopped dealing with Abraham. He didn't reveal himself in any way to Abraham. As long as Abraham had still his old dad and Lot with him, God was silent. But look at Abraham's life. He had the promise. He had everything. God spoke. The Almighty God, the creator of heaven and earth, has said to him, Abraham didn't ask. God said to him, I will make you. You will have. You will become. Everything. But look at Abraham's life. From the moment he didn't understand God's command, when he took Lot with him, things were very tough for him. such as confusion, hunger, strife, everything, nothing was good for him. You see in Genesis chapter 12, 14 to 16, Abraham heard the promise. Abraham, to whom God has promised everything. But let's read it.
Yes.
And it came to pass that when Abraham was come into Egypt, the Egyptians beheld the woman that she was very fair. If you read the verses before, there was, because of his condition, hunger in the country, so he had to run away.
Yes, sir.
Verse 13.
15. Yeah.
The princes also of Pharaoh saw her and commended her before Pharaoh, and the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. 16. And he entreated Abraham well for her sake, and he had sheep and oxen and asses and maidservant and sheep, and she asses and camels. 16, 17. And the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abraham's wife.
Yes.
So because of lack of understanding of what God wanted out of him, he went into big troubles. He went even to selling his wife. The man who had the promise of God, the man who had the full backup of God with him, but he went into trouble because he didn't want to separate himself. He went to sell his wife to Pharaoh. Things started to turn very, very bad for him. Quarrels with Lot's servants. Things were always bad. Lies in his life. Telling his wife to lie. No, let's go there. Because things are not good. You know, things are not well here. Let's go to Egypt. And there, you say, you are my sister. You see how, when we start compromising with the world, we bring even sin in our children, in our houses.
Yes.
The requirement was very simple for Abraham. Separate yourself.
Yeah.
But he couldn't still understand. Things went from worse to worse, and Abraham came back. When they came back out of Egypt, strife became, started with Lot. Things didn't work. This didn't. Darkness and the light could not live together. It was clear that God wanted the separation. And Abraham, as a prophet, he came to realize that now I need to make my decision. I've played around so much. And I can just see that my blessing, I'm not, you know, benefiting from my blessing because I'm playing around with God's promise.
Amen.
It came a time when he said, Lord, you are my cousin, I love you, but from now on, choose your way.
Amen.
I have to make my decision now. You go your way, I go my way. And if you see in the Bible from that time, just after being separated with Lot, God spoke to Abraham.
Amen.
Amen.
Genesis 13, 14. I think you can give me. Let's start from 12. Abraham dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of and plains, and pitches his tents towards Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord, exceedingly. Verse 14. And the Lord said unto Abraham, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes, and look from the place where thou art, northward, and southward, and eastward, and westward, and so on, if you continue. You will see, just after Abraham separated from Lot,
Amen.
God comes up and renew his covenant. The same thing he told him in Genesis 12:1. In Genesis 14, he comes, 13:14, he comes and renew his covenant. God just was waiting for Abraham to understand that as long as you are still alone together with darkness, blessing will not come. In Abraham, God said he had placed the potential for him to become the father of nations. The potential was in Abraham there for him to become heir of everything, but the requirement, the condition, Abraham didn't put himself in the right channel for him to benefit from the blessings of God. The channel was, the requirement was to get rid of Lot. And from the moment it got rid of Lot, God came and renewed the covenant.
Amen.
Not only that, God spoke, he renewed the covenant. If we go along, just after Lot left, Genesis 17, you'll see that God comes again and gives him a new covenant of circumcision. He couldn't receive circumcision as long as he was still working in the darkness.
Amen.
Circumcision came only after he had separated himself clearly with Lot. Then God came, he said, circumcise yourself.
Amen.
The Holy Ghost was not given when they were in Egypt.
Amen.
The Holy Ghost will not be given to you when you are half in the world, half in the world. Half in the word of God. Amen. Holy Ghost is a promise that will come only when you are completely separated from Lot.
Amen.
Because Holy Ghost, the circumcision was the sign of the Holy Ghost to come. Amen. So, God started now blessing Abraham. Abraham could see that things are working much better now. Because Abraham had to manifest something out of him. Abraham was supposed to be the father of nations. But so, up to then, he was still without child. Lot was there as an extent so that even himself, Abraham, started doubting of him producing the potential that God gave him. Amen. Amen. Because God said, you, Abraham, will become the father of multitude. But Abraham, he was so, you know, in relation with the world that he started thinking that Lot will be the one who will bring the child. Lot will be the one who will bring the multitude. Sometimes you get yourself so confused in the world that you can't, you started seeing the promise of God of no effect. Amen.
Amen.
So, that was it with Abraham. But he started seeing things moving in his life. He was still his wife was still barren, but God, as long as God was speaking to him, it was renewing his faith. Every time God would come, Abraham, I told you I will do this. Abraham, I told you I will do this. To prove you, get circumcised. Get circumcised. Abraham, as long as you stay in the presence of the light, in the presence of the spoken word will continue to bless you. Because in the spoken word is the power to transform and to bring to manifestation what potential are placed in you. But you get separated. He did. In Genesis 18, he didn't stop there. God saw, we saw in Genesis 1, that to make the separation clear, God had to change name. Darkness will be called night.
Amen.
Light will be called day.
Amen.
He did the same with Abraham.
Amen.
To prove that you have done my requirements, your name won't be Abraham anymore. Amen. You'll be called Abraham.
Amen.
I've changed your name. Since you have separated yourself from darkness, you have come to full manifestation of light, your name will be changed as well.
Amen.
God changed light's day. Sorry, light's name from light to day. God changed Abraham's name from Abraham to Abraham. Amen. It was still a continuation of God's transformation of Abraham. Because Abraham was on the right channel to produce what God told him to produce. So, circumcision given, name changed, but it was not it yet. The end was still to come. Genesis 18, we see God himself now coming not only to change his name, not only to take excess flesh out of him, but to change his whole, the full body.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So, that's the effect of the transforming power of the word. There's full potential, there's full power in the spoken word, but as long as you don't give it the opportunity to do what it is intended to do, you won't see the effect of the word.
Amen.
But you have to submit to the requirement of the word, then you will see. Abraham could now see. He woke up one morning. He said, Sarah, how are you feeling? Sarah said, Abraham, I've never felt like this for years. But today I'm feeling different. And she could say to Abraham, Abraham, I can see that your wrinkles are all gone. What's happening to you?
Amen.
They were sitting in the presence of the power of God, of the pillar of fire, of the spoken word that created the world. Amen. Because if out of chaos, because if out of darkness, God could create a garden of Eden, what could be impossible for God to take an old man like Abraham and make him a younger man to produce Isaac? Amen.
Amen.
The only requirement was for him to accept and sit in the presence of the light with no mixing, with no something else to interfere. He brought the manifestation of the light of God in his life. Amen.
Amen.
So Abraham produced the promised child, and we see from that all the promises God made for him were fulfilled. The pattern was simple. Abraham, God called you. You received the word, but get rid, separate yourself. Darkness and light, there must be a clear separation, a clear difference. Otherwise, I won't bless you. When you are you conform to the requirements, I'll change your name. I'll give you the Holy Ghost. I'll give you a physical sign. I'll give you a physical sign to show you that I have agreed. I have accepted your faith. Abraham was the father of faith. God has seen that really Abraham had believed me, but he gave him an evidence, a physical evidence, a circumcision to show that I have accepted you.
Amen.
So, and then name change, physical sign, and then change, complete change of body, and he brought forth the promised son. Amen.
Amen.
There's another example in the Bible. It was Jacob, another man who didn't want really to get fully surrendered to the light, for the light to produce its effect in him. Maybe that's why most of our lives we are just struggling between today Christian, tomorrow you start questioning yourself. Am I a Christian? Today you are living a victorious life, tomorrow things are not as good. But you wonder yourself, if I receive the word, this word I have received it, I said, this is the word that created earth, the heaven and earth. Can that word transform you? Can that word produce a real 100% Christian out of you? The reason is not in the word. The fault is not on the word side. The fault is often ourselves.
Amen.
Amen.
We don't fully surrender ourselves. We don't fully give up. We don't fully give in to God's leadership so that he can produce, he can give us, produce in us what he has promised.
Amen.
Jacob was another son born from this lineage of Abraham. He was in the lineage of promise. He was supposed to bring forth a child of God. But Jacob's life was a kind of just a reckless life. Lying. Listen to what the prophet says here. The prophet says, okay, I'll find it later. He said, Jacob was just that. Yeah. And Jacob was changed from Jacob, a supplanter. The supplanter, the deceiver, the unrighteous, the unholy, the deceiver, deceived his brother, stole the birthright as it was from his brother, took a little dirty way of doing it. Such a deceiver. He deceived his father-in-law. The list is very long. He was supposed to be a child of God. He was supposed to produce, to manifest the nature of God in him. But Jacob was still struggling. Life was not so good for him. God had predestined him to be to be in the lineage of the Messiah. He didn't have to struggle to get it. God had to make it in a certain way for him to get it. But it was still human effort. He wanted to do it in his own way. God promised, Lord, I will bless you. But he's still struggling. And there was no peace in him. He was living in constant fear. If you read your Bible in Genesis, you will see that he was in constant fear of his brother. He obtained the birthright. He obtained the blessing of the firstborn. But in such a way, as the prophet put it, in a funny way, in a cunning way, that he couldn't live in peace anymore. Life became a burden for Jacob. But he was a son of God. He was supposed to produce, he was supposed to manifest that potential of the son of God that God put in him. But Jacob didn't surrender himself completely. Jacob didn't separate from himself completely so that God could show himself in his life. We see things were not as good as they were supposed to be. Went to Jethro's house, you know, cheated, did this. He went there, did this, did that. So, but one day, in Genesis 32, some verses there, if you read, Jacob said, enough is enough.
Amen.
I've been, you know, dancing with two feet, one in the world, one there, but now I want to make sure that I am fully standing inside the promise of God. Amen.
Amen.
He said, he had a very big team of people, workers and everything. He separated them first. He started, you know, his separation was gradual. Sometimes God will lead you through some trials, some stages, so that you can start getting rid of all those things that hinder you from reaching his purpose. Amen. So that night, Jacob, because he was living in constant fear, his brother, he was just imagining, the day I meet my brother, what will happen to me? And Esau was not playing games. His birthright was stolen. So it was a matter of death and life. And Jacob was very conscious of that. But I'm a child of God. Why should I live in such fear? It's time for me now to see that God and to find out why I'm having this kind of life. Amen. He separated his group. The first group, he sent them away. You go. It was not still enough. God said, no, Jacob, that's not enough. There's still some darkness and some light together. I want clear separation between light and darkness. Send the second group. You go. He stayed with the other group. God said, no, that's not still enough. Send the third group. He thought maybe by staying with his wives and his children, God will be happy. But God saw it's still not enough. Amen. Sometimes we have to separate even from our families. Amen.
Amen.
We don't mean, you know, abandoning our families, letting them starve. But when it comes to the things of God, sometimes we have to put all these things aside and shut ourselves with God.
Amen. Amen.
Try to find the face of God. Try to serve God. If your husband is a hindrance, when it comes to God, you have to put God first.
Amen.
If your children are hindrance, God comes first. So Jacob that night, he said, my wife, my children, you go. All the army, all the fighters, everything. They asked him, but Jacob, you are afraid of your brother. If something happened to you, if he take another shortcut to come and attack you, what will happen to you? He didn't care. For him, that burden in him was so high, was so large, so big, that anything else didn't care for him. He wanted to understand why things are the way they are in his life.
Amen.
So he sent his wife, he sent his children, and he stayed alone. Only there that the God, creator of heaven and earth, came and started struggling with him. As long as those people were there, Jacob couldn't see God. He'd seen him in visions, he'd seen him in dreams, in many different manifestations, but his life didn't change. Jacob knew that he wanted more of God.
Yes.
It took more for him to get from what he was to what he wanted to become.
Amen.
To the full manifestation of the child of God he was. Amen.
Amen.
So, after separating himself, he stood now, and the angel came now. He could now see the angel and deal himself with the angel. Tell me now, why am I what I am? Ask him, what's your name? My name is Liar. My name is Crook. My name is, why did I have such a life when you promised? My father Isaac told me that his father Abraham told him that we'll be blessed. But how come me, a descendant of Abraham, and I have a birthright, how come I'm not blessed as you said I would do? I have to live, I have to lie, I have to cheat, I have to do this for me to live, and now see, I'm living in constant fear. Change my name today.
Amen.
I won't leave you until something has happened. Amen.
Amen.
That's where every Christian must come to that point one day.
Yes.
You want to live a victorious life? Yes, you have to come to that point.
Amen.
A Christian life is not just a life of community life. You know, we love community. We love fellowship. We love all these blessings that God has given us. But a Christian life is a personal experience first.
Amen.
With God.
Hallelujah.
You have to stay yourself. What Abraham says, Paul, when he met God, he didn't come and stand and preach until he went in the sacred sun in the desert to pray and meet God personally, and God changed his experience. Then he could come and stand and preach. Amen.
Amen.
Most of the time, we are just very happy with some little experience. You know, that day the pastor preached and I felt like, that's fine. It's a good, it's the Holy Spirit that made you feel like that. But it's not enough. Amen.
Amen.
It's not enough. You need the full manifestation of the Holy Ghost in you to bring you from what you are to what God wants you to be. So for that, it takes some time you to isolate yourself. Amen. Sometimes it takes you to hide yourself. So Jacob said, tonight, if you don't, I know your weakness. You don't like to be seen by people. So you like to hide yourself. But if you don't bless me tonight, I'll keep you till morning, people will come and see you. I won't let you go until you bless me.
Amen.
It was not easy. It was a struggle. He kicks, you kick. You know, they call it wrestling. Have you ever seen how people wrestle? It's not a child game, eh? They take you, they put you down, they kick, they put whatever. It was a serious thing. But Jacob said, never, I won't let you go. If you don't bless me, see, I've met the requirement. I've separated myself. But I still have that old name, amen.
Amen.
I still have that old nature. I've done this. I'm born from Abraham. I'm circumcised, amen. I've met all the requirements. The last requirement you were expecting for me was to separate. I've separated myself. So why don't you want to bless me? Amen. If a believer meets all the requirements that God wants, and God doesn't bless him, you made God a liar.
Amen.
God is not a liar. As long as you have met the requirements, God is obliged to bless you.
Amen.
Just be patient and wait on God.
Amen.
Amen.
Jacob waited all night. He didn't just make a simple prayer, you know, God, you know my weaknesses, you know. I'm your child, you know. Good night. No. Jacob took it seriously. It was a matter of death and life.
Uh-huh.
He was, as Mother Wanam put it, was desperate.
Amen.
When you come to that point of desperation,
amen,
then God can act.
Amen.
As long as there's still a plan B for you, God will see you, will look at you, will watch you struggling. Yes. Yeah, he still has his constant. Yes. Yes. But when it becomes the reason why you are still in that condition up to now, it's because it never become a matter of life and death.
Amen.
If it becomes, you become so desperate that God sees that if I don't bless this child, if I don't change her, something, she won't go. God will do something. So, Jacob struggled. He fought. Until when morning started coming, Jacob knew this man, he won't accept to be seen. You know, the sun is rising, he will start to go. He will find a way to leave. But before he went, before he go, he will lose something for you. Then he asked him, what's your name? He said, my name is Jacob. My name is liar. My name is crook. My name is prostitute. Whatever. You yourself, you know what gates you still have to possess in your life. Sometimes you are too diplomatic with sin, you know. You know there's something that bother you in your life, but when you go to pray to God, instead of denouncing the thing, instead of, you know, calling the thing by its name, say, God, you know, forgive me my sins. Which sins? Let's say first, you are not a sinner. That's the bottom line for a Christian. You are not a sinner. So, to prove that you are not a sinner, don't identify yourself with sin. If you are afraid to call its name, it means you are protecting it. Amen. You are protecting it. Jacob told God, my name is Jacob. And we know what Jacob means. Tell God, God, my dear father, this thing is my enemy. Change me. I don't want this thing in my life anymore.
Amen.
Call it by its name. And God will give you victory. Amen.
Amen.
God, Jacob spoke. What's your name? My name is Jacob. I said, okay. I've seen now, you have met the requirement. Separated yourself. You did that. You are circumcised. You are now, you won't be called Jacob anymore. Your name will be Israel.
Amen.
Amen.
Now Jacob could say, okay, that's it. My name is Israel, yes. And in Israel, we see there's a portion of God's name in Israel. Amen. Because Israel, there's El at the end, El which is the portion of Elohim. So God took a portion of himself and put in Jacob. Amen.
Amen.
So Jacob could stand there and say, okay, he could feel that portion of God in his name. Whenever people would ask him, what's your name? He said, Israel. People knew Elohim has met him. Amen.
Amen.
So, not only that, people that could see Jacob that morning, they could see him, limping. Amen. There was a physical change in Jacob as well. It was not just an imagination. He had of them a name change, but we could see that there was an internal transformation by the way he was walking. Amen.
Amen.
We've seen it with Abraham. His name was changed. He obtained the sign of circumcision and his body was changed. He could bring forth the promised son.
Amen.
Jacob fought with God. He was changed inside and outside, and we could see the manifestation of the change in him. Why? He stood in the presence of the spoken word, and the spoken word produced what it was supposed to produce in him. Amen.
Mm.
So, that's the only condition. That's the only requirement of God from us. The prophet, we read it there, if you put yourself in the right channel, and each one of those seeds has power in itself to transform itself into the species that I desire it to be. That's what it must be, because I have given every seed transforming power to make out of itself. Amen.
Amen.
God has given us that transforming power.
Amen.
The transforming power is not in somewhere anymore. It's in you. Amen.
Amen.
The power to transform, to change this body from mortal to immortal is in you and me. Amen.
Amen.
The only thing we have to do is feed from the word. Amen. The only thing we have to do is to separate ourselves. Because you will say, okay, I'm feeding from the word. It's 25 years now I'm in the message. But what? Why the change is not coming? God is not a liar.
Yes.
If the word is true, there are two things. Whether the word is not true, you are right, or the word is true, and something is not right in you. We know this word has been confirmed. It's the spoken word of God that created heaven and earth. So we have to troubleshoot you now. We have to find out now what is not working in you. Have you believed the message? Because sometimes you just, I believe the message. But in you, there's still a lot of your own intellectual conception. You have not, you completely surrendered to the will of God. There's still your old, you know, Baptist seeds in you. So that when the message is preached, they say God is one, you still see three people there sitting. You know, a big old man with a beard, a young man standing there with a big chest, and a dove standing there. You still see God's intrigue. They tell you, no, God has spoken in this age, and the prophet of this age is William Branham. You still doubt that in your heart. How can that word do something in you? It's not only separating from your worldly people that we see. It's separating from your own conception as well. Sometimes we are so, you know, immersed in our education. But I want to put it that way. Education is one of the things that doesn't allow us to get full benefits of what God wants. I'm not against education. Education is a good thing. It's because of education that I can read. I can count. I can go to work. We love education. We send our children to school. But we have to take education with the, you know, filter of the word.
Amen.
We have to filter everything through the word. Because if we don't, education goes to some extent, even though science is good. Science, people, when you start, myself, I've been trapped in that. Sometimes, when you become younger, teenager, you start discovering things, and you think it's new things. You read philosophy, you read mathematics, and then you study this and that. Oh, God doesn't exist. And you take it, you start, you know, making those ideas yours. And those things are very difficult to kill as you go, as you become a Christian. Because you have taken time to feed your mind with those things, big books like these ones. And you have read, I don't know, 100 books like this, telling you God doesn't exist, Socrates, Plato, this and that. When you become a Christian, it should take time now to keep these things in you.
Amen.
Don't expect by just coming to church, sitting, singing, and going back home, it will keep these things in you. You need a clear, good consecration. You need to take a serious step for you to get rid of these things. Otherwise, the preacher will be standing there. He says something. Since you have studied, I don't know, grammatical, whatever, in university, you start correcting the preacher.
Amen.
You know, it may be the prophets of our age, if you take his English, the way he brought out this message, is not that high level degree of education, but it's just humbling yourself before God. The prophet says, and Jacob was changed from Jacob, supplanter to Israel, and prince having power with God. That's what happened to Jacob. He was a shyster. He was running everywhere he went, always on the run from God. He was on the run from his brother. But when he came into the presence of God, he recognized he was a sinner. What did he do? He seized his opportunity. Amen. He had met something that he didn't even think about before. And he stayed there until all sins was gone. Amen.
Amen.
Oh my. God got him in his own presence. When you have that opportunity, that privilege of entering God's presence, stay there until something.
Amen.
Don't be in a rush to go. Don't be in a rush to leave. Stay there until you can say something happened to me. The prophet says, God manages a way to get men in his presence.
Mm.
Then they make their decision. Some of them run from him. Some run to him.
Mm-hmm.
You choose now where you want to go.
Amen.
If they were predestinated to life, they believe it. They hang on to it. If they were not, they try to get away and say, there is nothing to it. Amen.
Amen.
So, when you find that opportunity, take it, my brother. Take it, my sister. Because time will come, it will not always be the case that you will have that opportunity. God gives you that choice to stand in his presence, to choose whether to accept his word to manifest that seed in you, that character, that sonship in you, or to just play around, run away, and the result, you know what it will be. Many people have had that opportunity to stand in the presence of God, but they've neglected it. Well, when I speak about the young rich ruler, the Bible speaks about him as well. Maybe in him, because he received the same call that Peter received. It was exactly the same words that Jesus said to Peter or Andrew or whoever, come and follow me. Amen. It was exactly the same call from the same Son of Man who created the earth and heaven. He was standing there in his presence. The young rich ruler didn't recognize who was speaking to him. Because in him, Jesus saw there must be some potential on him, in him, to manifest a character of God in him.
Mm-hmm.
He said to him, young rich ruler, come and follow me. He said the same thing to Philip. Philip accepted. Mm-hmm. I just wonder myself, if the young rich ruler had accepted, maybe he would have been the 13th apostle. Because he received the same calling that James received, that Peter received, and all the others. Jesus didn't say to Paul, to James, to Philip, come and follow me, you know, I have 6 disciples so far, I need 12, so you see, there's still room for you to come. It was a general call, as he was calling everyone. You are a fisherman, okay, come and follow me. They came and followed. The young rich ruler received the same opportunity. And Brother Branham says, preaching about the young rich ruler, he said, after he had rejected the call, he was now begging Father Abraham to send Lazarus to go and give him some water. Because he had the opportunity to become a disciple of Christ, but he didn't let himself exposed to the shining light that would transform him, make him maybe a disciple.
Amen.
Amen. So, that's very important for us to understand that there's a transforming power in the Word of God, but that transforming power depends on our attitude towards the Word of God.
Amen.
When the Word tells us to do something, we have to accept and do it because God is not a dictator. God has chosen the way of God has chosen the way of free will to deal with man. He doesn't impose, he doesn't come and dictate something on us.
Amen.
He has given us choice. You accept and live or reject and die. So we have that choice today. There is the power of transformation. We have seen it in Genesis from a chaos from nothing, out of nowhere, God spoke his word, and a beautiful, a marvelous world came to existence. If you accept it today, and put yourself under God's leadership, put yourself under God's requirement of separating yourself, of following him according to what he wants us to be today, God will manifest himself in you.
Amen.
To close, listen to what Abraham says. After Jacob had rested all night, instead of trying to war away that man, Jacob held on to him. He was able to hold on until he got what he was after. He held. It took all night, but he stayed there. He wanted to be absolutely convinced. And when he stayed until God changed his walking, he was convinced. Amen. That's the trouble of it today. We don't stay long enough till we get our walking convinced. We don't walk like Christians. If we stay long enough with him, he will make your walk different. Talk different. Live different. Act different. Sleep different. Be different. And the reason is, we don't stay long enough.
Amen.
We don't hold on. Jacob held on. Amen.
Amen.
I am recommending him to every weary person today. I am recommending him to you that have no hope. You that never been in his presence. The only thing you have to do is confess your sin and realize that you are home. And God has that angel ordained tonight called the Holy Ghost that will take all your sins away. Then you'll cry, Lord, here am I, send me. Amen.
Amen.
So that's, my brothers, sisters, the requirements of God from us today. If we can only, because let's not make God a liar. There's power in the word.
Amen.
There's all that God has promised, and he has put it in you. And the sign, the evidence that you are a child of God is you have believed.
Amen.
You have recognized your day and its promise. So that seed in you wants to come to full manifestation, and to come to full manifestation, it needs to be exposed to a mixed sunlight. Amen. It needs that full sunlight to shine upon it. It will come and start killing slowly this body, the influence of this world, the influence of the things we have accumulated in our minds, in our bodies, in everything that we have done before, and the full manifestation of the power of God will be shown. And as Jacob, our walk will change. When people will see that man wasn't used to walking like this. He was fully, you know, straight upward. But since that day, something happened to him. Now he's limping. You can step on his feet. You can step on his toes. He'll just bless you. Before you, if you do that to him, he'll kill you. Then notice that something had happened.
Amen.
You have it in you. I have it in me. Let's just surrender ourselves to God.
Amen.
Amen.
God bless you. Let's stand on our feet.
My wedding garment,
oh,
that you are his daughter, that you are his child, and he wants his nature being seen in you.
Amen.
And he has given all the potential in you. Just surrender yourself.
Amen.
Just accept to stand in his presence. Remember Aaron's word. He just stayed for 24 hours in his presence. It was transformed.
Yeah.
There's nothing impossible to God.
Yes.
If you just give him some of your time,
yes,
stay in his presence until something happens. Stay in his presence until he changes you.
Uh-huh.
Until you come out convinced that something has happened in you. And God is capable of doing it. Just surrender yourself. Just ask him. He's faithful to his word. All the promises, the Holy Ghost, a victorious life, everything is in the word. Just surrender yourself. If you do, something will happen and you'll give a destiny. God loves us. God wants us to be transformed, to be changed to his own image. He has made a provision for us. It's up to ourselves to give diligence to the word. Why we call Brother James to come and call those ones.
Maybe with us.
us next time for the next services.
Amen. All the glory must be to the Lord. Our Lord.